To be continued.
I'll continue it right now. Who's got the intro?
Trigger warning! This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2 Gay, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We altered your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it, Lisa? Michael?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't feel it.
I can feel it.
Come on, man.
Aw. Right.
So, Lisa's living in a Fellini movie with ducks in circuses keeping her awake. Okay. I want to hear about that.
There's a conspiracy. It's terrible. It's like 3 days now that there's, as soon as I get comfortable, something happens. Like a smoke detector starts chirping. ducks are quacking outside my window at 4 o'clock. Yeah, you know how it does that chirp chirp thing when the battery's dying?
Well, if you guys, I'll bet out of the four people in here, at least one other person's had this problem I've had, where one's dying and you can't find it in your home. Because they chirp, because they chirp like every 20 minutes or something. And I had that problem when we moved into this house. Like, we moved into this house 7 years ago, and I didn't know this, but there was a working... I hear someone breathing. Stop breathing. There was a working smoke defector. That's what I call them. Smoke defector in the top shelf of a closet, like higher than short little me could see. And it was under some papers and stuff. And I'd never looked up there, so I didn't know it was up there. And, you know, I'd bought smoke defectors and put them all over the house. And about a year after we moved in, I just started hearing this chirp. And it was like, I don't know how often it is. It might be every 10 minutes, maybe. And it's just one little chirp. And it's maddening. I think it was actually an episode of Seinfeld, and this was like the whole plot of it. But, you know, I tried. I took the batteries out of all the ones I'd bought. And it still chirped. And it drove me nuts for like 10 days or something, man.
It's crazy. Yeah, I have one that was going off a couple of weeks ago. My son was here, and he's really tall, so because I have 9-foot ceilings. So I said, come in here and stand on my bed and, like, dismantle this thing. So he did. He unscrewed it so it was hanging down, and it stopped chirping. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'm good. Well, last night, I was trying to take a nap, and I heard the chirp, and I'm like, okay, which one is that? Because there's one right out in the hallway, too. I couldn't tell which one it was. So I'm standing under one of them waiting, half asleep. Then I go out and I stand in the hallway and I wait and wait and wait. And then, you know, you wait like 10 minutes and nothing happens. So I said, okay, whatever. I guess it was a fluke. So I went back to bed. And it was fine. Chirp. And then today it started again. As soon as I got comfortable and started dozing off, it started. I'm like, this is some kind of... someone doesn't want me to sleep.
It's get terrible. Some batteries before those ducks burn your house down.
I know. They're you probably know what? Flying. When you, I think it's them.
When you Google smoke detector, the autofills it offers, the first one is smoke detectors. The second one is smoke detector beeping.
Yep.
And the fourth one is smoke detector chirping. So this is a common problem, apparently. Yeah, you know, I think it's the fault of Bernie Sanders, because he's a liar and a socialist, and he smells like tinkling mothballs, and he doesn't think we should have good batteries, so they just wear out and the smoke detectors.
That's probably what it
burnt.
Is, the cheap batteries.
It's his fault.
Why so many kinds of batteries?
I don't know if it's cheap batteries, because, like, when I moved into my house, I had that problem, and it was driving me nuts. So I went out and just bought a new smoke detector. I figured, what the heck? It's time to replace it. Replaced that one, worked for, like, 2 days, and then it started chirping. So I put new batteries in, chirping again. So then I went and bought another one, and it did it. Finally, on the third one I bought, it's finally working now. And they were different brands, so, yeah.
AAA, AA, D. We need just a 9-volt. That's all we need in this country. More 9 volts.
Imitating Bernie.
Why so many kinds of batteries? This capitalistic system is confusing.
Derek doesn't have batteries because he's an anarchist. Or he doesn't have smoke detectors, right? Because you're an anarchist?
I've just replaced mine. I'm a responsible anarchist.
I know. I was making a joke.
I saw the best meme today. It's got a picture of Emperor Palpatine and Sauron and Bernie Sanders, and it says, sometimes you need an old white guy pretending to be a good guy to make things worse.
Sounds about right.
Why do you want things to be worse?
It's making a joke of how horrible Sanders would be if he was running the show.
Okay, this is kind of funny. I'm reading, somebody just sent me, Nathan Ninja's Girl just sent me an article from the Washington Times about Norwegian government seizes children, citing parents' Christian indoctrination. So, I guess that's a hate crime now to be Christian in that country. Now, it's kind of interesting, though, because Norway is also like the home of black metal, which is, you know, this form of music that is so dark that, like, not only is the music dark, but the practitioners of it, and yes, that's the word I said, burn down churches and murder band members, and one of them committed suicide, and his roommate took a picture of it and put it on a record cover after he blew his brains out, and then, like, made soup from his brains before he, you know, called the police, and yeah, it's black metal. So, because they're Vikings, they're like, they believe in their Viking heritage, and that Christianity, like, ruined Norway. They say that, so I'm wondering if the Norwegian government is like, becoming black metal now.
Now, they're confused. Like. Christianity is the most black metal of all religions. I mean, what other religion do you literally eat a body or drink blood?
That's Catholicism.
That's a particular branch, and some would argue it's. Well, some would argue
that's what I learned. I was not raised Catholic. I was raised, my, you know, stepmom's a Methodist pastor, and she says body and blood.
Well, they all branch off.
Yeah, they all branch off. But the churches that were burned by the Norwegian black metal people were just straight up Protestant churches. That's the thing in Norway. But the Catholic Church is supposed to be the direct lineage. Like, you know, the 12 disciples were the first Catholic Church, supposedly. The Catholic Church claims the direct lineage to the 12 disciples. But
don't they all claim that? I mean, they're like, we're the right one. We've got the text.
Well, they all religions claim to be the true religion, but Catholicism kind of can, if any Christian church can trace back to about there, it's them. Although the Rastafarians believe they're the true Jews too.
Yep.
Sort of, in a weird way. Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
And they were started one country over from Somalia. They're almost Somalian.
What claim do you know? What their claim is on that? How could that possibly be?
What do you mean?
Rastafarians are the true Jews?
Well, a lot of that comes from the Jews exiled to Babylon, way, way, way back, and they're descended or something. I was reading about it once. It's kind of confusing. like most religions, honestly.
Like statism, like Barack Obama, who's a liar, a socialist, and a seat stink.
The worst religion of all.
Yeah, it is worse. It's killed more people than all other religions.
It sure has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daddy's going to take care of that.
Which daddy?
There's only one. He's running for president.
Which daddy?
Of the world? Daddy Trump.
Oh. Ew.
Creepy. Daddy Trump.
Ew.
That's terrifying.
Well, he's better than Daddy Duterte. I was hearing about him earlier today from the Philippines.
Yeah, that dude.
My other daddy.
Let's horrible. Talk about that guy.
Yeah, that guy is.
Well, he's the new Papa Doc. If you want to call people daddy, you know who Papa Doc was, right?
No.
No.
He used to eat people. You don't know who Papa Doc was? He was
Francois
Duvivier. He was the president of Haiti from 57 to 71, and he was horrible. Yeah. He was murdering his own people. Yeah.
Mm. Papa Doc sounds too cute. I like daddy because it makes me shiver.
Ugh. But his kid's name, and his kid took over for him, and this is cuter. His kid's name was Baby Doc, or that's what they called him, and he was horrible too.
Baby Doc. Yeah. Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this guy in the Philippines
is thing going there, and they wonder why Haiti's so horrible.
So this guy in the Philippines.
This was in Haiti. Yeah, that was in Haiti, Papa Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about the guy in the Philippines, Derek.
Daddy Duterte. That's what I'm going to call him. He's the
Daddy D.
He's going to be the president in the Philippines,
the president-elect.
Yeah, and people are comparing him to Daddy Trump because they say a lot of the same things, like, you know, he prefers people to be hanged in the street instead of maybe like tried for their crimes in a courtroom. You know,
It's going to be worse in the Philippines than if Trump gets elected here, because what Trump doesn't realize is the president isn't the CEO of the country. Like, Trump doesn't really know what the president does, because he said, day one as president, I will blah, blah, blah. And then he says all these things that the president doesn't have the power to do.
You know, well, they all
even
do
by
that.
Executive order. But in the Philippines, they can do all those things. So he is going to, you know, shoot on sight people that drink in public and smoke drugs in public. And
he's gonna kidnap children who are out past 2 a.m. and charge their parents with abandonment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I thought that was a clever one. And
so
you know,
like babies dealing weed on the street corner there, or what?
I mean, I guess he's claiming that there are a lot of problems with terrorists in the Philippines, which I've never heard about, but maybe I'll give it to him. But the reason I call him Daddy is because he just is taking on this role of like, well, you children have gotten out of hand, and I'm going to tell you how to lay down the law. You know, this is, if you're doing bad things, you get shot, okay? And then you're going to stop doing bad things. Like, he thinks he's going to clean up the country just by cracking down on the criminals. But I think he's mistaken.
He's cracking spines. Yikes.
He sounds just like every other populist politician, you know, giving that rhetoric how he's going to be tough on X, Y, and Z, you know, to make the people feel safer. And isn't that how freedom is lost?
You got to hear this quote. He said he preferred death by hanging to a firing squad because he does not want to waste bullets, and because he believed snapping the spine with a noose was more humane.
That's horrifying.
Wow.
Yikes.
There's your dear leader.
Yeah. Well, this guy's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people actually chose him in the Philippines. Like in the U.S. elections, it's typically only like, what, 12%? Of the country actually votes to say that they consent.
Yeah. And everybody needs to vote harder. That's what I heard. We'll be back after this trip to the market. I won't, but they'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Rare.
Rare.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Laws and dictators.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Maybe this Duarte guy just needs a cat.
He needs a dad?
He needs a cat. Maybe he'll chill out. He sounds like a lonely old man.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he
get
is.
Off my lawn, but to the extreme. Get off my lawn, hang you.
Or I'll snap your neck.
The issue is, it sounds like the people in the Philippines don't have guns of their own. Like, if he would just be like, instead of saying, shoot to kill military snipers, anyone who's a criminal in the streets, like, no, if people are robbing your house, shoot them when they're robbing your house. Let the, you know, people be armed and defend themselves. Oh, problem solved.
Maine got into a, well, I shouldn't say Maine. Our illustrious person that calls himself the state ruler got into a lot of trouble for saying that, like with the drug problem and with heroin and the opiates in Maine, and a lot of it supposedly coming from out of state. He said something to the extent of, well, Maine owners have a lot of guns, and you know, if they just use them, that would take care of this drug problem. And it's like, oh
my,
totally misinformed.
Whoops.
You know.
No, that's not gonna. Guns don't solve a drug problem. Guns solve usually a theft problem or an intruder problem.
Well, I mean,
I don't see how that's gonna get people off of drugs.
Yeah, this guy's an idiot. You know, he's like most of the politicians. Yeah, you know, they don't understand that drug abuse is a health problem.
Maybe he does understand. It seems like politics is all about talking tough, though. It's like, how big a game can you talk? Yeah, we need military snipers to shoot all the children, and you know, no more those soft firing squads. That's too pansy. We need hangings in the streets. Like, I don't know if they'll actually do it, this Duterte guy, but it's talking tough. You can't beat that.
He said, I need the military to pitch. I need military officers who are sharpshooters and snipers. It's true. If you, the criminals, fight, I will have a sniper shoot you.
I think it's funny. It mentions Duterte was raised a Catholic.
Yeah.
Did it say that?
It's just like a footnote. At the
implying that he doesn't follow those tenets, though. Yeah.
I don't know that it implies that.
Well, leave you to your own, you know, conclusions there.
He was apparently very vulgar with the Pope and was supposed to apologize. And I mean, this guy reminds me so much of Maine's governor, like the way he talks and his mannerisms and everything. It's sad, that whole... Yikes. Nationalist, populist, I'm a tough guy and I'll protect you. Oh, why do people feel the need for that?
It works.
Why are they attracted to that? Oh, it's horrible.
It's because he's daddy. He's going to clean things up for him. He's taking authority. He's just assuming authority over everyone. And people love that. They're like, yeah, clean it up for us. Take responsibility for this crime. I can't take responsibility for myself or my world. I want someone else to do it for me. Yeah, you're talking tougher than I ever could. Go get him, daddy.
The Punisher. Ooh.
The Punisher?
Yeah, and if you've read...
dubbed as the Punisher.
Yeah, and if you've read...
He's running vigilante death squads. Yikes.
Yeah, if you've read The Punisher, he is not a good guy. He's not a nice guy.
Here, where's the... I read one other thing that... this guy Duterte is doing. It's closing down restaurants and bars at 2 a.m. for a curfew on drinking in public places. So, you know, I guess that's the problem, is people are walking around drunk too late at night.
I've seen,
and then they've become terrorists.
Yeah, I've seen. They need to be shot. 2 a.m. drinkers do.
Yeah, if only there were more military snipers in the streets, then things would be heaven.
Yeah, isn't the Philippines kind of a tourist destination?
Not
now.
Well, he said that the crime is affecting tourism, and I'm just thinking, well, if crime is affecting tourism negatively, how will snipers and military personnel in the streets be? I would not want to go vacation in a place like that.
Yeah. Nothing says Philippines is for lovers like military snipers surrounding your beaches.
I want tropical beaches and coconuts and beautiful women, not ugly military gun personnel people.
Ugh. Well, maybe they can like two-time it, you know? They've got their guns to defend you, but also they'll open a coconut.
Okay.
You know, they can put these guys to work doing more than just sniping.
Yeah.
Train him as
what did
bartender.
He say to
this
offend
is a government make work. Yeah, what so did he say about the Pope?
It doesn't say. It just says he made international headlines for use of vulgar language.
Oh, yeah. Well,
not
also.
Sparing Pope Francis.
He was supposed to write a letter to Daddy, the big daddy, apologizing.
And he didn't.
Ooh. That's like when the teacher's like, now you're going to sit in detention and write why you're sorry. You have to write out that fake apology. Oh, sorry, I cursed in class.
Yeah, that works so well.
I'm sorry I was caught is more like it.
Uh-huh. I'm not really sorry.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store, from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know, the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for Lip There with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Grumpy cat.
You are meow.
Yeah.
Meow. No. Who's closest to a gun right now?
I would say me, because I can have my hand on one right now.
Mine is on one right now. I just reached over. I keep it on my desk. Not? No.
No.
What?
I said I used to stroke it.
Well, good. I heard... I don't know if Lisa wants to tell us her sad story about her gun, but we have sad stories all around.
Yeah, well, mine got stolen when I lived in Virginia. Yep.
Do you know what happened to it?
It was in a little safe, and my house got broken into a couple of days after Christmas. I was house sitting for someone else, watching their
after
dog,
Christmas.
I know. They stole my new TV too, and all kinds of other stuff.
It was the Grinch.
And went through my drawers. Yeah, it was kind of traumatic. But they did. They stole my gun. But they left
That's
my box
terrifying.
Of ammo. Yeah, it was pretty upsetting.
So they weren't too intelligent.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because the ammo's marked. You want to leave that behind.
Right.
Guns are all interchangeable, right?
But
yeah. That's weird. What a sad story. Did you ever get it back? Did you go to the authorities? Were they helpful and they retrieved it like heroes?
Well, no. It was someone else's gun. Someone loaned it to me. But in Virginia, you know, the gun laws were really lenient. Yeah, yeah. So no big deal. So yeah, I did have to. We did have to call
big
the
authorities.
And they said they asked us for the serial number, and the person who lent me the gun couldn't find it. And he's like, well, Womp. I bet you as soon as that gun is used in a crime, they're going to find me.
Oh, yeah.
But to this day, we haven't heard anything about it, and it's been a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next time you hear of a suicide murder in Virginia, you're just...
Yeah,
yeah, you know, that's a good tip though for listeners to write down the serial number of their gun somewhere safe so that they know it and have it.
Probably should do that.
You keep a record on yourself. Don't let the government keep records on you, but keep records on yourself.
Yeah, no kidding, because they really, you know, you think they're tracking all this stuff, but they were, you know, and then the detective told me to drive around all the pawn shops. I don't know if you guys know Newport News, Virginia, but you don't want to go to the pawn shops there. Yeah. No. So they told me to drive around to the pawn shops and see if I saw it anywhere.
Like, hi, I'm like, just looking for
that
my TV.
A gun. Yeah,
might have been stolen. Looking for a stolen gun.
See, that's kind of funny that they told you to do that, because where I live, there's like three pawn shops and the cops have a cozy relationship with two of them. You know,
they were all
they literally
up.
They go
they're
in
like
every
she won't
week.
She won't do it. They're following you around like, come on, go to the shop. We'll arrest her as soon as she comes out.
Bars, no kidding. Bars on the windows. And I did email one, and the pawn shop owner wrote me back a super nasty email, like, don't go contacting us and seeing if we have stolen property. And I was like, whoa, okay, forget it.
Yeah. Well, I'm having gun issues right now, because I love carrying my gun around. I bring it everywhere. I went to the grocery store today, and I was open carrying. Now, open carry, wearing the gun openly on my hip, is completely legal. In New Hampshire, for everyone, everywhere. They don't ask any questions. Nobody thinks it's odd. It's just part of the culture here. But if you are to put on a jacket and cover up that gun, even if it's just because you're cold, now you need permission from the government. You better ask permission, fill out forms, and get your documents in order. And I've got a problem, because sometimes I do want to put on a jacket, or I want to put my gun like in my pants where it's not going to like make my outfit look weird. So, you know, as part of a being personal responsibility safety guy, but also want to be a fashion guy,
I need to conceal this gun sometimes. And that's just the reality. But I was denied when I asked for my permission slip. My government permission slip, they said no. So what do I do, guys? Like, do I reapply and
no.
engage with the state and say, like, hey, Mr. Copperman, you don't know me, but I want to carry my gun around, and you're probably not going to like that. Will you please let me?
Well,
it feels wrong.
It is wrong. And, you know, I would say, what I always say to people is you have to weigh the consequences. I think we've talked about this before, Derek. You tend to be much more of an activist than I am. So you're more likely to run into authorities than I am. So I guess for your own well-being, it might be beneficial for you to try to get a permission slip, although I can tell you that they're going to tell you no. If they've told you no once, they're going to do it again. But I guess it's an individual thing. Like myself, I got one back in when I was in my constitutional days, and I was proud to get my permission slip and everything. and when it expired, I vowed I will never get another one. Fortunately, now Maine, you can open carry or conceal carry, and you don't need a permit. My uncle was actually instrumental in getting that through the legislature. That's the
Uncle did that.
Yeah, and you know, kudos to him for
your uncle built that.
Dealing with that viper's nest, I don't know why he would want to, but you know, kudos to him. But even if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't.
Well, can you get him to do that down here in New Hampshire? Because the House keeps passing a bill for constitutional carry, meaning like you don't need a permission slip. The whole thing is done with, like in Vermont and Maine. But the governor, Maggie Hassan, keeps vetoing it, and she's all proud and the you know. I don't know.
Well, it seems odd to me that if there's such a gun culture in New Hampshire, that more people haven't put pressure on the legislatures just to override that veto. I mean, supposedly
it's close.
Like how the system's supposed to work, right?
Yeah, but they chicken out. Here's the thing. They chicken out. The last time the House voted, I don't know, I needed this all explained to me how this works, but the House, like, they propose a bill, they vote on it, then it goes to the Senate, and then it goes to the governor. The governor can say no with the veto, but then they can override the veto. So that's a little, like, government lesson 101. But the Senate said, oh, well, the governor's just going to veto it, so we're not going to pass it either. And they, like, tabled the bill, even though it was approved in the House. So they just gave up. They were like, well, you know, we know how this is going to end, right? So let's just preempt it with a loss and wait, you know, waste our time doing something else. I'm like, come on. I mean, I can't force them to go vote on an issue, but that's what they tell me the legislators are supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're not doing it.
I guess there can be as public outcry, but a lot of times that doesn't really matter in politics because those cats do whatever they want anyway.
Well, it doesn't stop me. You know, I conceal carry anyway, you know, without the permission slip, but I'm thinking it would be helpful even if I went and applied and got denied again. Say I'm arrested for, I don't know, having an open container of alcohol. I don't know. I don't even drink alcohol, but something victimless, you know, where I'm out in the street, you know, parking ticket gone wrong, and they arrest me, and then I've got this extra charge of concealing a gun without a permission slip, you know.
Yep.
Then they know that I've applied, and they know that I know that I can't do it. Does the jury look at me more favorably, like, well, this guy, I mean, he tried to get permission, or are they like, hey, this guy knew he wasn't supposed to? I mean, what do you think it would be in a jury's mind if they were trying to convict me for that?
It could go either way, but generally speaking, the way they screen juries these days, I think they're going to look at you in a harsh manner.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
You know, because
you broke the law.
Yeah.
Well, then rather carried by what's the expression? Rather be
judged by
12 than carried by 6.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll continue carrying, but I hope they give me my permission slip, and I hope even further that they just drop the requirement for it altogether.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
But you know, that's hoping in government world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live in Maryland and forget about, I mean, I've heard that even, you know, former government agents can't carry here. It's nearly impossible. Yep. Open or concealed, forget it. You have to have a really good reason.
Is that because it's so close to DC or something?
I don't know. Maryland has a lot of silly laws, more so than other states. I kind of regret moving here from Virginia. Maybe I'll
Did you ever have to show your concealed carry license, Chandler?
No, I don't think so.
So it was useless.
I did. I think when I first got it, I did once when I got pulled over at like 1 a.m. I was coming home from a friend's house, and I think the cop was fishing. You know, he was hoping that I was drunk or whatever, which I wasn't. And
that day,
yeah, it wasn't
caught you on a good one.
And you know, I gave it to him along with my license because, well, I had a gun sitting right on the dashboard of my car. You know,
yeah.
So I figured, why not? But other than that, I never run into it.
Speaking of keeping it in your car, have you seen these cool holsters? This is, I don't know if this is new or not, but this is new to me. They have these cool holsters that you can, I guess, put basically anywhere, but it's designed for the car where the holster is just basically like a rubber rod, and you put the muzzle of the gun or put the barrel in that way. So it's not sitting in snug, like inside leather, like it typically is in holsters you wear on your hip. You're like, penetrating the firearm slightly with something that holds it in place. So this looks really cool. It's very easily accessible. Should someone, you know, try and rob you in your car or something?
Yeah,
have you seen these?
I haven't seen those.
I haven't seen them either.
I usually I carry mine in a briefcase now that I carry with me. I've actually run into trouble. Well, I have to carry.
The first thing the robber's going to say is, like, throw me the briefcase, right? I mean, like, that's what carries wads of cash.
Well, in my situation, you know, doing my job, I have a lot of paperwork, and I carry all of that just in my briefcase, you know, in the seat over. But I actually got spoken to by my work because they have an anti-gun policy, and you know, it's not like the government saying it. Like, I opted to work for this company, and you know, I can't be like, oh, you're stupid rules, and I'm not going to comply, because I mean, it's voluntary. I don't have.
I broke
work
those
there.
Rules when I worked at JCPenney. They said no guns, and I said no. Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the thing is they were like, well, if you keep, I said, I have it in a locked briefcase, right? And they're like, well, if you keep it in your trunk, which
I think that's irresponsible. I mean, gosh, why aren't you wearing it? Why don't you have it on you? I mean, you don't know what's happening with it. It could be like Lisa, it gets stolen.
I live in Maine, and literally, like, the job I have now, I drive 5 minutes from my house out in the country. So I'm not as worried about it as I used to be when I traveled a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's
what
that.
Is it you carry?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Nope.
Meow. No.
So, in the last segment, we were talking about following the law versus doing what's right. And that kind of brings me to a topic I love to talk about. Captain America's Marvel's Captain America Civil War, the new movie. Spoiler alert, too, because we're going to give away some stuff, so tune out for the next segment if you don't want to hear it.
Can you talk about... I want to see this movie now, too. Can you talk about it in a way that's not spoiling it?
Okay, I'll try. Once you get over the whole... It's not like the comic books and that disappointment. It's actually it's a good action movie, like most of the Marvel movies are. Yeah. My only disappointment with the movie was that it didn't illustrate the themes of following the law versus doing what's right as much as the comics did. Now, the Civil War comic series came out in 2003. You know, it was, I think that was right about the time that the whole, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq thing started, and, you know, the outcry against the government was kind of high in some circles. But the premise of the comic is that a group of supervillains is tracked and kind of ambushed by a teenage group of superheroes, and they're filming a reality show. And what happens in the comic is one of the supervillains, he can explode himself like to a small nuclear blast, and he destroys this whole town. So there's a big public outcry
as like a retribution sort of thing for being caught.
Well, yeah, he escaped because he can survive the blast, and he escaped. And that was his, you know, he's like, I'm going to do this and escape. So there's a big public outcry, and the government comes down, and they want superheroes to register, like, with their real identity and become part of a UN peacekeeping task force. And in the comic books, S.H.I.E.L.D., which, if any of you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., great show, S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of run under the UN. So Tony Stark heads this up, and he does it under the auspices of, well, we've got to do this because it's the law, and if we don't, there'll be a backlash against superheroes and enhanced individuals, they call them. There'll be a backlash against us. Yeah. And Captain America is like, nope. Not doing it. You know, it sounds like Gestapo tactics, and I'm not going for the whole security versus liberty thing. And it goes right down the lines throughout the whole Marvel universe where, like, the covers would say, choose your side, or whose side are you on? And it was originally a 12 issue run once a month. But the neat thing was is that every single comic book in the Marvel universe had at least one comic one month dedicated to what was going on in Civil War. So it was just really interesting. I mean, they really brought up the points of how far are you willing to go to defend your liberty? I mean, to the point where Captain America and his followers were literally hunted by Iron Man and the, I think they called them the Initiative, you know, and the law-abiding registered superheroes.
Did the writers have a side, or is it all just like your interpretation, what you think is best? I mean, you're saying Iron Man hunted Cap. I mean, but would it be, you know, could someone look at it the other way around and say, like, you know,
I think the storyline was more sympathetic to Captain America's side, but that may be my bias.
It sounds like the writers were infusing their own thoughts about, like, politics and
they were
invasions during the war in Iraq and about, like, crackdown on privacy.
This came right after the implementation of the Patriot Act and all that stuff. So I think that a lot of people were writing the comics were kind of on that liberty versus security side, and they were projecting it in the comics. So it's a good read, and I would suggest seeing the movie. It's a good movie. I was entertained. Just go see the movie first, then read the comic series. Trust me.
Are there explosions?
Oh, there are lots of explosions. And the fight scenes between the superheroes.
Are there people in tight clothing?
Oh, yes.
Shiny.
I'm there.
Yep. So yeah, worms.
Meow.
Good stuff. And
meow, 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 meow.
We'll be back after we take a short trip to the market.
Let's go to the worm market.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I need some worms. Asking about my worms. I was wearing that button the other day.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. You tell me when.
Sure, go for it.
All right, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Loop Pair, 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
So I want to know something.
Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now.
When am I going to get to play with the low orbit and ion cannon?
We don't let you play with it.
I know. I'm kind of bummed out.
You'll do bad things.
No. Yeah.
You carry a gun in your briefcase.
Yeah. You don't know how to use weapons properly. You don't have the right respect.
Hey, well, you know, we never finished that segment. When I was talking to the supervisor at work, they were like, so yeah, you got to keep it in a locked box and in your trunk. And I was like, so if I'm driving, you know, I'm going out to a client's house and I get out and things are a little sketchy, what good is that gun going to do for me in a locked box in my trunk? I mean, come on.
Yeah, seriously, it's got to be on you. That's why I was joking. Like, so you carry like a bunch of cash in your holster and you carry your gun in your briefcase?
Yeah.
You've got it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Cash. Mm-hmm. I don't have no disposable income. I work in human services. I'm poor.
Human services.
Yeah. I guess that's what they call it these days.
So I want to share with you guys this story about Azalea Banks. She's a music artist. She made a couple of hits. She's not big time, but big enough that she makes the news. She got banned from Twitter for a homophobic rant, and I read it. She said some really bad things, some curse words. She was she got into this like flame war with one of the guys from One Direction. That should be like shame enough. That's pretty embarrassing. But yeah, this boy band, she was knocking this guy and calling him names, and I'm not for that. And so one of the headliner shows that she was playing at dropped her as the headline act, and they were like, this is why we support inclusion, we support everybody, all people, and you know, so we don't have a place for it here. And I get that. That's the market response. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want a bunch of people canceling for our show because they paid good money, and if they're upset, they're going to take their money away. So we want to keep their money, so we're going to do what the people want. But then further, Twitter banned her account, and I'm like, that's the wrong thing to do. As a platform where people are supposed to be interacting and sharing their views, if you say something really bad, like, put it at the front of Twitter. It should be highlighted. You should let everyone know what this person thinks and what they say. You know, like, bad speech should be put up on a pedestal so that the people can recognize it, see how bad it is, and denounce it. Like, I want to know what she said. Now, there are, like, screenshots and stuff, but I think it would be better if she had to deal with the hangover of like waking up the next morning and realizing what she had done and like make a bunch of apology tweets. It would, you know, I think it would set the right example for people. Otherwise, it just makes people want to leave the platform.
Just to boil it down, I mean, censorship is wrong no matter what. And, you know,
even when it's your private property, when Twitter's like, hey, we're trying to make a clean, safe place here for everyone and with no triggers. No trigger worms.
I wouldn't agree with their decision to do that, but it is their property. Yeah. So
they're pretty lame. They've been making bad decisions lately, Twitter.
Well, isn't that the kind of the direction that a lot of social media is going in, though?
They should just let it happen. Like, do you remember that that robot girl that Microsoft released?
Like a bunch of racist comments or something.
Yeah, like, was it on Twitter or Reddit or where was that?
I think it was on Reddit.
Yeah, there was some controversy, and they were really
was a Twitter bot. She was tweeting, and this was a program developed by Microsoft to enhance their speech recognition, so they say, right? And I'm going to take them at face value for that, that they wanted to improve their customer service with automation, teaching a robot how to interact with regular people, and letting it learn on its own. Yeah, but then the people on Twitter ended up sending so many messages to this Twitter bot that this robot, I'm calling it this person, started acting in ways that the creators didn't expect.
Well,
and they shut the robot down. Talk about the wrong move. Yeah. I mean,
I think they could have learned a lot from that.
Yeah, robots are going to learn from that.
Yeah. No, but I think people could have learned a lot from how that robot reacted to the media that it was exposed to. And you know what they say, garbage in, garbage out.
Well, I think it could have been a teaching moment for everyone in the world. Yeah, you know, really this it's almost a life form, right? When it acts in an unpredictable way that we did not expect, that's when you really want to pay attention to a thing, be it a robot or a living being. But I would wonder, like, would if a robot sees this is how humans treat a lesser life form or sees how people treat animals, you know, are they going to, when they surpass us in
that's
technology and intellect,
comes in.
are they going to shut us down when we're inconvenient? I don't know. I would think we should treat the robots with love and respect.
Did you hear?
I just found an article about that, and it says Tay, that's what it was called on Twitter. Tay went from humans are super cool to full Nazi in less than 24 hours, and I'm not at all concerned about the future of AI. Oh my.
Yeah, did you hear?
Yeah, I remember this now.
There's a
I'm not concerned about the future of AI. I'm concerned about people's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think people are ready because shutting it down is not the right thing to do. Taking it offline is death for robots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that there's a law firm, Baker Hostetler, they just hired a robot to help with bankruptcy cases?
Are you serious?
There's so many of them.
Yeah. No, it's on the Washington Post. They've literally, I guess,
get your super efficient bankruptcy robot.
Yeah.
We've got the model 2016.
It's an AI machine powered by IBM's Watson technology. I think we've talked about that, the Watson technology, on the show before.
Well, isn't it great? Like, if you were waiting to go bankrupt, you know, now's the time. You can get that processed very quickly. Yep. If you thought, like, 2008, 2009 was a good time to go bankrupt, no way. You ain't seen nothing.
Yep. His name is Ross.
So,
Ross?
Yeah. I don't know what it stands for. It's all capitals. I don't see
for loss.
Yeah. Ross will help you with your loss.
Cute. There you go.
There's the tagline.
Yeah. Why are you looking into this? Are you going bankrupt?
No, I happened to be scanning the newsfeed today, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, wow. I tend to keep an eye on the AI front. That, I don't know, maybe I've watched too many sci-fi movies growing up and read too many books, but that whole thing troubles me.
Well, why does it trouble you?
I don't, like you said,
I love it.
I don't think humanity is ready to handle the consequences.
Who's humanity? What? I'm ready. The sex robots are coming.
Hey, they're already in Japan.
Yeah. They're coming over to this coast.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys hear there's a new Rocky Horror Picture Show coming out? Speaking of sex robots.
There's a new Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's celebrating their 40th anniversary. Wow, Yeah, 40 years. Can you believe?
That's older than me.
Yeah. I mean, this show's been going on for a long time. And, you know, have you ever been to a live Rocky Horror Picture Show where you interact with the...
No, I was supposed to go in high school, and I never made it, and I'd like to go to one. Here. I've seen the movie, but I've never done the live show.
Don't they throw food or something?
They throw toilet paper and all kinds of weird stuff, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, so the movie bombed in theaters. Like, nobody went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's weird. It's out there. You know, it's considered, like, one of the cult... movies.
Classics, yeah.
Right. But where it really gained its following is where people started interacting with the movie. Like, you know, it found its cult following, and people interact with the different scenes. Either they'll act them out on stage during live viewings, or they'll bring props, things like newspapers, and they'll put them over their heads when the other people in the movie have newspapers over their heads, or when people get married, they'll throw rice, and like, so there's like traditions and stuff of interacting with the movie. And I don't know if you'll be doing this or hosting a Rocky Horror Picture Show party at your house, but there is a new movie that's coming out, and you know, they just put out the trailer today. I'm super excited about it. It has nothing to do with like politics or anything, but it's culture, and I'm happy that this movie has survived and has been sort of like a clarion call for kinky weirdos. And,
so is it a remake or is it like a reinvention of the movie?
It's a total remake. I think they keep all the same lines, all the same characters and everything. You know.
Yeah.
So should I see the original first?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Right. No question. Yeah, and Tim Curry, who played Frankenfurter, the main character in the original, it does make an appearance in the new film, so I hear. You know, he's super old now, but at least he's able to be in the show. It's sort of a hat tip, you know, for paving the way for weirdos in the future.
Yeah, see, that character is going to be played by Laverne Cox. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, do you know her?
I don't know her. I wish
right,
I did.
But you know,
I know who she is. Yeah.
I didn't really know. I didn't know this person. Yeah, she's in Orange Is the New Black. She's a trans male to female, and you know, this is kind of like a big deal for her. She's getting more exposure from this, I think, than from the original show. She wasn't on my radar. I'd seen her in a couple of like gay magazines and stuff, but you know, who
you
cares?
Haven't watched Orange Is the New Black?
No, it's a little too close to home for me.
I watched one episode and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah,
it's a little.
I don't need to see that.
I mean, there's good comedy in it too, but it is kind of sad overall. I mean,
I go to jail every other week. I don't need to watch a show like that.
Oh,
are you one of those bad boys, Derek?
No.
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 That's it. No, I'm not.
Nope.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, you're just one of those people that believe in.
I think most of the people you'll find in jail are good people.
Doing what's
too.
Right.
I do too. Yeah.
It's because it's all filled with victimless criminals. Isn't that the case in Orange Is the New Black, or is it a victim crime?
There's a mix.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, chasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Moo.
No. Worms. What sound do worms make?
Make a pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up.
You have to, like, just put my ear to a worm bucket.
Yeah, get down on the ground.
Freedom Fiends!
That's what they say.
We'll go with that.
Don't put me on the hook!
I listen to Freedom Fiends just like you.
So, enough with the worms.
Yeah. Did you bring up the urban farming benefits?
I sure did.
Speaking of worms.
Yeah. They're actually really good for the soil. Yeah.
I don't care about that. I want to know about this torture report thing. I don't know anything about this. Who shared this?
Oh.
The CIA inadvertently destroys its only copy of the torture report.
Right.
Yeah. Accidentally.
They're going to need a new word for that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's becoming way too commonplace. I'm here. So, yeah. Torture.
Yeah, they did.
Well, apparently, who gave the CIA an internal watchdog? That seems like a bad idea.
That seems like a really bad idea. Are you surprised, though?
Don't worry, guys. We've got a watchdog on our payroll.
Yeah.
Right.
They're totally going to check out and see if we do anything wrong.
The fox in the hen house.
They're totally not going to delete all of the evidence of our crimes.
Hey, if we've learned anything from 80s movies, it's that the internal affairs people are always the corrupt bad guys.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they inadvertently deleted their only copy of the Senate report. Now, there are other copies out there, but...
Oh, there are. No big deal.
But they did it while the Justice Department was insisting in court that copies were being stored.
They're like, hey, you better store that thing. They're like,
we deleted that.
We just made some space.
We thought that was junk mail.
Yeah. Oops. There's a spam folder.
It was a virus.
It happened at the CIA Inspector General's office, which is in charge of overseeing policies and conduct at the agency to ensure that it's not breaking the law or acting out of bounds.
If they were smart, they would leave it. They would just add a virus. They're like, here, anyone who wants this? Look at our torture report. We're so bad.
I think the most telling thing about this story is the full report is 6,700 pages. Really?
Yeah. But those are mostly photocopies of people's rear end. This is what do they call enhanced interrogation? Mm-hmm. It's not torture. We're interrogating them enhancedly.
Did you hear
one of the techniques they used in the enhanced torture was playing like Ministry and Nine Inch Nails and
Angry Puppy or something, right?
Yeah, and a bunch of artists got really mad and tried to sue them, saying you can't use our music for that.
I think they did. I mean, I don't know. I think they
that's where they the chose... IP... I'd love to hear a bunch of libertarians talk about IP in that respect. I think that would be a good conversation.
Yeah. They should have BIPCOTTed the song so that the government agents can't use it.
Yes, yeah, they should have.
There you go.
BIPCOTT.org.
We're going to have to email all those artists and tell them in the future, BIPCOTT all your music.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, so I was a teenager at the start of the Iraq War, and I remember hearing about some of the enhanced interrogation techniques that were being used, you know, loud, heavy metal music, lights on up into the middle of the night, you know, sleep deprivation. And I was thinking to myself, like, this is my life. Like, what? How is this? This is what they're torturing people?
Yeah, but this is high school. It's voluntary with you.
No, it wasn't voluntary. I didn't know that I could opt out of high school or any of those things. Fortunately, there wasn't waterboarding. I'm not trying to make torture sound like it's not torture or anything, but...
Right.
You know...
I'm going through the sleep deprivation because of the ducks and the carnival. And
It's terrible. Suffering it's just evil like those ducks.
Really, I can't imagine what it's like to go through a severe version of that because I feel kind of delirious already.
Yeah, this is the CIA's new plan. It's the Patriot Act version 2. They send cyborg ducks to your house to keep you awake at night.
It's the evil ducks.
Slowly torture you.
Oh, and the chirping smoke detectors.
Yes. I think it's a government plot. That's why they all do it.
It probably is. They're on to
meow,
me.
Meow, meow.
They've been paying attention.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Finally got me. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
I love the header for that email, Gary. That's
meow 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 meow.
You just got right to the point.
Wow. So Derek's got an interesting story he sent us.
You're just gonna toss it? Just that? No setup?
Nope.
All right. Set it.
He doesn't know what to
say. So there's this politician, and as politicians will do, he's making a lot of mistakes. And they're more public than everyone else's mistakes because he's asking people to, like, vote for him and stuff. So, in one of the things that he did, he calls it research. He was doing some research, and there were some tabs. So he shared a screenshot from his computer as he was talking about something faith-based, presumably, very religious and pious. He said, well, The tabs on his computer in the screenshot revealed the following titles. I don't know.
he was looking Layla, at porn.
We don't know that. You know, we don't know that this is porn. But the title was Layla Rivera Tight Body and Yvonne Sexy Amateur. So I don't think that he was really doing research on his congressional
staffing.
Campaign.
So
he's apparently a faith-based candidate. So he's running on the idea that he is, like, very religious and holier than thou. And, you know, you can read his whole explanation. But he says that he would not be comfortable with adult topics. And politically, within certain parameters, as a conservative with many libertarian ideas, it can and should be discussed. So, hey, maybe this guy is, like, getting some good exposure for libertarians. I don't know if you want to call it good exposure.
I think it's just funny.
That's creative, yeah. I think it's funny.
I just love
seeing... You're definitely giving him the benefit of the doubt, Derek.
Well, you know, I don't know. I just want to be fair. We don't know what this guy was doing, but, you know, I'm happy whenever candidates for political office are made embarrassed by their own mistakes like this.
Well, I think,
like,
it's
how embarrassing could it be? You publish this yourself. I mean, not only is, like, your whole family or whatever going to see it, like, everyone you've ever shaken the hand of to say, like, vote for me. What is this guy's name?
We should look him up. Hands.
His name is Mike Webb.
Yeah. Did you see his explanation? He explained on Facebook.
No. What did he say?
Part of it, he said, curious by nature, I wanted to test the suggestion that somehow, lurking out in the pornographic world, there is some evil operator waiting for the one in a gazillion chance that a candidate for federal office would go to that particular website and thereby be infected with a virus that could cause his or her FEC data file to crash the FEC file application each time that it was loaded on the day of the filing deadline, as well as impact other critical campaign systems.
Wow. Sure. Could you imagine? So, well, that okay, actually so, would be pretty trippy. I mean,
so
could you
why
imagine
would you
the...
do that, though, right? Like, why would you sabotage you yourself? Oh, yeah, I'm
You
testing.
Have to find out.
Right, yeah. right.
You know, he was being, he was taking one for the team.
You know what? I would have more respect for these people if they would just admit, yeah, I was curious. And maybe he wasn't doing anything vulgar, let's say, against his faith-based whatever. But if he would have said, look, I was just curious. I wanted to see what all the hype was about. I've never been to a porn site. You know? If he would have just told...
That would be headline news. That would be a bigger story than this.
Yeah, we would not believe that one bit.
Yeah.
They would be, thou dost protest too much.
Well, I don't know. That this explanation guy. Sounds like he's protesting.
It's very long-winded, yeah.
But, you know, it's a growing trend with and I don't want to paint people of faith with the same blanket, but I've noticed over the last 10 years, a lot of politicians that claim to be, you know, Christian or devout, whatever, these very, what's the moral center or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
A lot of these cats are the ones that are caught in the very things they're condemning.
Yeah. You know? They're the ones who are messed up.
And yeah. and I think that just goes to show you, I don't think it's a reflection on people of faith. I think it's a reflection on the type of people that end up looking for power in the halls of government. Mm. So why
yeah.
would you?
They can't control themselves, so they try and control other people.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's just another illustration. And why people
Too real.
Keep going back to that? I don't understand.
Yikes.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll laugh at him. I kind of want to go to these sites now to see what they are.
No.
Researching.
Yeah. I want to see who's going to be the pro porn candidate. I mean, when is that going to be a thing? When
isn't, can that's just, isn't that John McAfee?
I was just going to say, it's got to be that guy.
Yeah, tell me about him.
It's
I don't really know. I know he's got the biggest virus that the world has ever seen.
I don't really know a whole lot because I don't follow politics.
Into your mic, I can't hear you.
I don't really know a whole lot because I don't follow politics enough, but he seems to be...
He's not politics, though. He's like, he's on some other world. He's in some other planet.
He's funny.
He's a comic book character.
I think his whole run in the Libertarian Party is just to garner attention, which...
Great.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but I don't know.
Yeah, his campaign ad where he announced that he was running for president features like 8 hookers, right?
Yeah. They're all and he's holding
just
his
massaging him, and he's in a robe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some white powdery substance in the shot. It's pretty scandalous. And this guy is running for president. I love the competition that, you know, these offices are getting now.
They're really raising the bar.
It's so comical, isn't it? Yeah.
I love the diversity of the Libertarian Party. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, is it going to be Vermin Supreme?
Yeah.
The guy with the boot on his head?
He's still my favorite.
Yeah, or is it going to be, you know, the guy who ran through Brazil running from the police, you know, and doing advertisements with hookers, right? Like, who's it going to be? At least he's honest, you know, this stuff that other politicians, like, wasn't it Obama, who's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink? Didn't he say that he had done a little bit of blow, right?
Yeah, he did, I think.
Wow. I mean,
well, think about how long it took to get to that point. You know, in the 90s, we had I Didn't Inhale to, you know, in the 2000s, I did a little bit of blow.
Maybe he was just showing his support for the CIA.
Uh-huh. That's where he got it.
Yeah, there's a video circulating right now of McAfee with his wife, and he's got, like, all these big guns on the table, and he's smoking a cigar.
Real...
it's great, yeah.
A man's man candidate, right?
Yeah. I find him really amusing.
Yeah, that's it. He's very...
He is handsome. And have you noticed he's got that George Clooney speckled salt and pepper sort of look, too? But it's like it's like solid chunks. It's not ground up salt and pepper. It's the whole balls.
No, I didn't notice that, Derek.
I didn't either.
Well, you got to pay more attention to your political candidates.
I know.
Is what you're voting for.
I'm not.
You need the leader of the free world to have a nice haircut. None of this... you know, comb over stuff.
Yeah.
It will pass that. It's like the beard. You don't have any politicians who win with beards anymore. I say let's dump the comb over. We're not doing that
anymore.
What's
up with the no beards?
Well, I think they intimidate people. And then the hipsters really started to ruin it when they started wearing beards.
Ruin?
That's kind of a bummer. Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, I'm anti-beard.
Oh.
But, come on. Don't tell me you support beards on political candidates or anyone else.
I don't support political candidates.
Right.
Do you think our cyborg overlords will allow beards? Seriously?
Probably not.
Absolutely not. They will forcibly laser your beard off.
Well, I don't have a beard. So
I'm just envious because I can't grow a beard. I have too much Indian blood in me. I just can't. I get that little goatee, and that's the best I could do.
Yeah. Well, that's acceptable if you just work with what you got and accept your beardlessness. Now, I'm for removal of all hair. I really think, you know, talking about our trans, you know, not trans, like bathroom trans issues and all that stuff that's going on. But like transhuman. Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be the next big thing.
Cyborg world. You know, forget all this love and kindness stuff. They're going to demand we be hairless. You know, it's less important how we relate to each other and more important how we look, how our aesthetics are. They're going to change this world around.
That's what will evolve from the AI, huh? Hairless humans.
Well, see, I'm working an angle where I'm really sucking up to the futuristic robot overlords so that they'll make me dictator. You know, I'll meld my body with machine, and then I'll take over the world.
Hey, and then you won't have to apply for a permission slip to carry a gun if you're overlord.
Well, I'll probably still apply. I'll probably still ask for permission. It'll be fun.
But if you're overlord, you'd have to ask yourself for permission.
Yeah, too. And I'm going to put everyone who I don't like in little hamster wheels. I'm not little hamster wheels. They'll be big hamster wheels. We'll have whole factories filled with them, and they'll power the robot future.
You know, it's funny. I went to Tractor Supply the other day, and they had this big metal cage thing, and it said, like, 18-month financing on, you know, whatever this thing was. And I was like,
18 months?
I was like, why is Tractor Supply financing a giant hamster wheel? And my friend laughed. She said, that's a thing to feed cows, you know, that they stick their heads in.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of grew up on farms. I probably should have known that, but I don't know. It was funny.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, you think it's to feed cows. Really, it's to power our future robot overlords. The Matrix had it all wrong, where bodies were hooked into machines in goo, you know, and they were just lying there dormant as batteries. They're going to have us working. We'll be working the fields,
I was going to say, what would we be producing for our robot overlords in the fields?
Well, they want comedy.
Well, I'll be fine then.
Yeah, I'm doomed.
They want more freedom podcasts.
All right, then I'm safe.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's go to the market and see if we can find some transhuman robots.
Real.
Meow.
And robot cats.
Robot cats.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Worms. Well, worms.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
So have you guys heard that Austin City Council voted down Lyft and Uber?
Lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
You heard about this?
Yeah.
So this is sad news for people who want to ride, because like in where I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Uber was voted down by the city council, and they said that it's not allowed, that it doesn't, you know, pass muster or whatever. But then the app still works. So if I turn on Uber or Lyft, I can go get a ride anywhere in town because the drivers don't care. And they're just going to give people rides anyway because they just don't put the little, you know, pink mustache or whatever in their car so that the cops don't pick on them. But they're still giving people rides, and it's still fully operational. But in Austin, they just turned the app off. They were like, all right, well, you know, if you're not going to let us, then I guess we'll turn it off. And so now people can't get rides in Austin, at least not this way. Enter heroic app from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, called Arcade City, where you can give a ride, and it's like pay what you want sort of thing. And it's not a, you're not paying for the ride. You're not paying for the car itself. You're paying for an arcade. It's a moving arcade because all cars are equipped with a Rubik's Cube. So you're paying for entertainment
really?
As you are transported through this arcade city of a world.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so basically it's a way for drivers and people who want rides to connect with each other. And it is like, you can agree on an amount if you want in the app to say, like, I'm going to pay this amount. And then, like, the app, I think, gets some money from it. But or you could be like, hey, thanks for the ride. Here's a 20, you know, like, and you don't have to go through the app at all. You know, it's just a way for people to find each other. So, you know, the Austin City Council and people like them think they're so clever with their fancy desks and gavels and laws saying, man, you can't have the ride sharing app, but people will have the ride sharing app.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone, Liberty always finds a way to circumvent these silly rules that are just there to create monopolies, and people don't want any of it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think the more you see governments, and whether they be, you know, big multinational or local, the more you see that enforcement mechanism come down upon free people, the more you're going to see people adapt to it and just be like, all right, well, we'll do it this way. We'll do it our own way.
Yeah.
And that works.
Yeah, the more technology advances, I think they're not going to be able to control it.
Yes.
It's already happening. Yeah.
Technology will save us as long as it's not hairless robot overlords. Sorry, Derek.
They're coming. No. Nope. Yeah. I don't know.
Erickson's
convinced
the,
they're coming.
That's what I choose.
Yeah.
I'm reading this funny these people who don't get that they don't matter anymore. They're like, if a company or an individual is going to provide a ride for compensation and that compensation exceeds the federal reimbursement rate for a privately owned vehicle, there's regulation with City Code Chapter 13.2 companies in it. It's like,
blah, blah,
guy,
blah.
You don't matter. Like, it's over. Give up. People are going to get rides. This guy, he said he posted on the Arcade City Facebook page, like, hey, I'm here, I need a ride. He got a response in 20 seconds.
Wow.
So your little, oh, privately owned reimbursement regulation city chapter code 13.2 doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You're talking to yourself, these people sitting in these big rooms with their gavels. Nobody cares. The rules don't matter. Nope. I think this is great.
I do too.
I do like too.
It. I want more it's Arcade great. City all over. It could even be cheaper and better than Uber.
But and Lyft. We need to replace the Rubik's Cube with a Game Boy or something.
Oh, I love the Rubik's Cube.
It could be anything you want.
And the pyramid and all
there, that's things. That's it right there. Anything
the
you
pyramid
want.
One?
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. Any puzzle we want.
Yeah.
I want to find a way to hook up a classic Nintendo inside my car.
Oh,
that
I can
be the real ultimate. I mean, people would be riding around all day.
I could do that for you.
I'd charge like a $100 ride down the street because people are going to just stay in my car. I'll have to kick them out. And there might be a funny smelling substance coming from there, too.
Well, maybe.
You never know what benefits Nintendo you might games. Get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms.
Well, It was good talking to you again, Derek and Lisa. It was good to finally make your acquaintance.
Yeah, watch out for those ducks.
Me too. I know.